Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Wednesday, the 27th of March, 2019. To get you started, Barbara Bush no longer considered herself a Republican toward the end of her life. In a new book on the late former First Lady from USA Today Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page, Bush told Page that her feelings on the Republican Party changed during the Trump administration.
Early on, when I interviewed her, I said, Trump is president. You don't like him. Do you still consider yourself a Republican? And she said, yes. But then in a later interview, I said, how about now? Do you still think you're a Republican? And she said, no, I'm not. And that is a remarkable statement by someone who played such a role in the history of the Republican Party.
In hours of interviews during the last few months of her life, Bush told Page that Trump rubbed her the wrong way during his tumultuous presidential campaign, when he also ridiculed her son, Jeb. The matriarch, Barbara Bush, and the making of an American dynasty will hit bookshelves on April 2nd. President Trump will once again publicly comment on the Mueller report today, as he's set for an appearance with Fox News host Sean Hannity. Earlier this week, lawmakers continued calling for access to special counsel Robert Mueller's full report into potential Russian interference in the 2016 election after Attorney General William Barr issued a 4-page summary. That summary said that a 22-month inquiry had not found that Trump or his presidential campaign colluded with Russian efforts to sway the election. Trump and his allies called the report a success, with the president referring to it as a total exoneration. Congressional Democrats, meanwhile, said that Barr's summary only heightened their interest in obtaining a fuller account of how Mueller reached his conclusions. A Justice Department official said on Tuesday that Barr will deliver Mueller's report to Congress and the public in weeks, not months. USA Today Justice Editor Brad Heath has more.
So Attorney General William Barr delivered on Sunday a summary of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. Mueller set out to answer two big questions. Did President Trump or anyone associated with his campaign participate in that Russian election interference? And did Trump try to obstruct that investigation? The answer to the first question was unequivocally no. Barr said the special counsel did not find evidence that Trump or anyone on his campaign had participated in the Russian election conspiracies. On the second question, Mueller declined to reach the answer. Barr said that he found evidence on both sides of the obstruction question and declined to reach a conclusion. So Barr and his deputy, Rod Rosenstein, supplied their own, and they said there was no prosecutable case of obstruction against the president. That turns a lot of attention to Capitol Hill, where Democrats in the House are going to want additional information. They're going to want to know what evidence Mueller's investigation uncovered, and they're going to want to know why Attorney General Barr decided that this didn't constitute prosecutable obstruction. They want to see the report. Members of Congress, especially Democrats in the House, have been saying for a long time that they want to see the entirety of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, and they reiterated that demand today. Barr hasn't committed to releasing the full report to Congress or to anyone else. He said he'll do as much as possible, but that it also contains information that's supposed to be secret, including material gathered by grand juries that's protected by federal law, and material that could weigh on some of the other investigations going on of and around President Trump.
Next up, Senate lawmakers today will hold a hearing on aviation safety, the first such meeting since a pair of devastating fatal crashes involving the Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft in Indonesia and Ethiopia, and just a day after the same type of plane made an emergency landing in Orlando. Officials from the FAA, NTSB, and DOT will all testify before a subcommittee of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. MAX 8 jets were grounded by many airlines and some countries around the world in the wake of the crashes, and federal officials are pursuing a criminal probe into how the MAX 8 was certified safe. Boeing, meanwhile, is working on upgrades with the hope of getting the planes flying again. And if you're feeling lucky, you may want to try your hand at the Powerball. The lottery's jackpot has soared to $750 million, marking the fourth largest lottery prize in U.S. history and the largest of 2019. It's also the biggest since Powerball's competitor Mega Millions' top prize reached a staggering $1.53 billion in October. Your odds of hitting the jackpot, though, a cool one in about 292 million. And last up, British lawmakers will vote today on a number of Brexit scenarios after the House of Commons rejected proposals from embattled Prime Minister Theresa May. Almost 3 years after Britons voted to leave the European Union, the date and terms of the departure are still very much up in the air. The continued debates come after the EU gave the country a delay past the scheduled March 29th exit date further into the spring. You can catch new episodes of 5 Things each weekday morning and on Saturdays on Apple Podcasts and wherever else you get your pods, like the Google Home and Amazon Echo. You can also subscribe for free and leave us a rating and a review if you'd like. 5 Things is part of the USA Today podcast network.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.